Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I have been here a year now, my first in service among with you last year was for an All Saints and Sunday as well. It is one of my favorite Sundays. First off, it's my one chance to make you sing for all the saints. I was tempted to force you to do all seven verses. Now, that might have been bad, but remember, in the LBW and the the service book and hymnal, there were eight. Not only that, but if you go back to the original and poem done in sometime in 1860, there were 11 verses. So you're getting off easy. It is still a wonderful hymn that points to the truth of this in particular day. You may know the history, I assume you do, and some of us gathered last night to watch one of the movies that's known as Luther, and it was one that, of course, reminded us a great deal of the worship of saints and indulgences and all of those things that are a part of our story as well, the reason why these things came to a head in the way they did. We of course know that that the church, as it existed in that day, was in great need of reform, and this is a part of it. We do know the stories of the great saints. There's at some point it got to the point that there were just way more saints than there were legitimate days. So the church in its wisdom said, we're just going to pick one day, and that's going to be all saints. For some of us, it has become a memorial day of sorts where we do and should remember those who have died, particularly in the past year, and so we will again. The stories of the saints are ones that are, stories that encourage us and inspire us and remind us of what it is to be a Christian, and there are a lot. There are stories from both the ancient days of and even before the coming of Christ. The parables, of course, of the master who sent his servants. They were the prophets who might be killed or tortured or at least abused in some way and rejected by those who should have known better. There are the saints from the early days of the church, the saints of James, as we remembered a couple of weeks ago, and Peter, the one who asked to be and crucified upside down so that he did not find himself to be worthy to be crucified in the same way as his Lord. All of these are stories that are told, and they are good stories. But perhaps we need to widen the scope a little bit, because there are other saints among us. Saints who have been claimed by Jesus Christ, and in how they lived, they too are examples to us, and we learn from them. One of my favorite saints is actually the father of Pastor and David Parks at Our Saviors in Everett. His dad, Bob Parks, loved to play softball. So after church on a nice spring or summer day, we'd all be out there on the patio where they served the coffee and so forth, and Bob would come up and he'd say, And Marlon and I are going to go out and throw the ball around a little bit about 2 o'clock at Sunset Park. You guys want to come along? And of course, being a high school kid, I thought this was just great. I mean, this guy was a Boeing an engineer, which was not a bad thing. But the idea, he had no reason to come up and talk to us, but he still did. I expected that our pastor and youth director were being paid to do that. But this guy, on his own, thought that we were important enough to talk to. One of my favorite saints. I, of course, and think about my dad. My dad was a saint in some ways. He sure wouldn't recognize that. But he was. And my grandfather, the one I never met, he died, strangely enough, on Reformation Day, October 31st, in 1937. I never met him, of course, but I heard stories about him. Was he a saint? Yes, he was. But there are other stories to be told. John was doing the adult and forum and telling in stories about their trip to Detroit. They helped to go and fix up the home of a woman whose job was to take in and develop mentally and challenged kids in her neighborhood. She was doing that on her own. So who is the saint? And was it the one who owned the house or the one who came to clean it up? They're all saints. They are all living their lives by faith. Who are the saints who are among us? Do we pat ourselves on the back and say, good for us, we hosted Mary's place? Yes, we should. But at the same time, when you sit down and talk to those who are guests among us, you can see that they too are living their lives by faith. That too becomes an example. You know, this world does not offer much that is new. We've seen it all before. Stories of war, stories of injustice, stories of oppression, stories of the difficulties of making it from one day to another. We were reminded again last night of things like the plague that would decimate villages. Those things still are among us. There are the difficulties that we have of those that are migrating from the ancient Near East in Syria and other places and into Europe, hoping for a better life. All these have been seen before, and it looks like this is what we are going to have. This is the world that we live in. It's an old world. It's tired. It's worn out. Into this Jesus comes. And when he comes and returns to that little town of Bethany, and Mary and Martha both say to him the same thing, Lord, if you had been here, you could have done something about this. Our brother would not have died. They thought the problem is that Jesus wasn't around when he should have been. And even though Jesus himself knew that there would be a resuscitation of being brought back to life and for Lazarus, temporary as it would be, still, Jesus wept. We know what separation is. We know the difficulties. We know what it is to lose a friend. either to death or to some other thing. We know what it is to be concerned about what the future might hold. I'm now at that point in my life where I begin to pay attention to things like when I'm supposed to go and take tests at the doctor, just to make sure. We know what it is to lose friends. Just recently, of course, we lost John and Connie to death, and recently, even more, we lost Jody because she moved away. We will miss them both. And certainly, as we remembered and Roger, we remember him as well as one of the saints among us. The story of John is a strange one in that Jesus seems to show up at the wrong time and wrong place. He waits for 3 days before he returns. He wants to make sure that Lazarus is really, really dead. And sure enough, Martha is concerned that the process of decomposition has already begun. Lord, there is a stench. He's been dead for 4 days now. And Jesus said, oh, go ahead and open it up in any way. Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So here we have this Jesus who comes and does these things. But what we also have in our own lives, where it seems that we are separated from God, and there are and probably many times in our own lives when we have asked the question, God, where are you in this? Why is it that you do not seem to be around? That we have the promise of eternal life. The Christian church at times is given a bad rap for being so heavenly minded that that we're no earthly good. I'm not so sure I really believe that that's a legitimate assessment of who we are. But certainly, there are times to celebrate precisely that fact, that this life that we live now is not the final statement. That as John says, there is a new heaven and a new earth that will not be like the old one. And one of the primary things that we will know about it is that God will be there. We as God's people will dwell with God. It's one of the things that when I allow myself to speculate, it is indeed a great and wonderful truth that I take great comfort in. Now, of course, my funny bone gets involved in this too. I want my reservation to be in the part of heaven where dogs are allowed. So I want us to say that up front. But on the other hand, there are pictures that are a part of our thinking, even though we have no idea what heaven looks like or where it is or what it's going to involve. Still, one of my favorites is a heavenly choir. And when I go, I'm going to get to go and find out when rehearsal is. And then I'm going to join and find my place in the choir, and I don't know who I'm going to be standing next to. It is said that Luther had a wonderful tenor voice. That would be fun. But think of all of the other ones who would also be in that choir. Would it be my dad and my grandfather? Yes, it would. Would it be the people that I have met in different ways that have inspired me? Yes, it will. Will it be the gracious And Bishop Mameo, who welcomed us to Tanzania a couple of years ago and gave me a life, an experience of a lifetime, yes, it will. Will it be those who have gone through the great and tribulation that John spoke about, and the tribulations that have occurred since then? Yes, it will. Will it include John and Jody and Roger and all of these other ones whom we are separated from now by time and distance? It's interesting that one of the things it says is that the sea will be no more. In those days, of course, the sea was a border that you could not get past. It was a big deal to cross a sea. But when the sea is gone, we will all become one. And all of those issues of and borders and nationalities will simply not make sense at all. And there will be an opportunity to be joined together in one great, great crowd. And we will sing together our alleluias, because God has done precisely what God has planned to do in making all things new. Finally, at that point, it will be finished. Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. Then he said to me, "It is done." There will be nothing left to look for and forward to, for we will have received it all. That God in God's grace has bound us together in one great communion, a family, in a collection of gods and people, and we will recognize the goodness and grace of God in that place. Once a week, I think it's absolutely fine to celebrate this great thing. And in doing so, to recognize that gives us the courage and the faith to get up and do those things that need to be done. To go down to prepare a lunch on Tuesdays or whatever it's going to be. The little things, the big things, the things that we don't have any idea yet. Sometimes it's just in getting our families off and off to school in the morning and welcoming them home at night and letting them know that they are loved. All of these things are a part of what it is to live as gods and people. And we celebrate those who have done it before us. And we celebrate the fact that we are a part of it as well. Amen.